You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, if Don Rue says it, then I guess I'd better step up to the mic and say good morning. It is Friday. It's May 2nd, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. As we get rolling through this Friday morning, our week in review panel, standing by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Mark Jacob, and Jennifer Schulze will help us talk about the events of the week here and other breaking issues as well. We will have Dan Schumacher talking sports a little bit later on in this hour. In our next hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Emily Cephos will be along to talk about two pieces of bipartisan legislation that could be helping women and their health, if only certain Republicans in leadership positions would let those matters come up for a vote. But first, we have another morning where it's not as warm as it could be. It's not as nice as it could be. But, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, it's on the doorstep. The sustained pleasant weather is on the doorstep. Tell me it's going to come up the doorstep and stick around with us for a while. And not just like leave a flaming bag of poo on the doorstep and then run away, right? It's actually coming, right?
It's actually going to come here.
All right. Good. Yes. Good. All right. But we got to get through today first.
We sure do. I mean, temperatures are right now in the mid to low 30s right around Lake Superior. And there's some precipitation by Superior into Poplar area. And it's rain or either freezing rain at this moment. So we are seeing some wintry weather kind of trying to mix in far up north this morning. Otherwise, temperatures down in Prairie du Chien are at 52 degrees. We just saw a few scattered showers roll through the Milwaukee area, and we're going to continue to see light rain chances, especially north through this morning. And then this low pressure system is going to be working its way from the northwest all the way to the southeast through the state today. So that's going to take the showers from up north in the morning and drag them down south by the afternoon and into the evening. So high temperatures today will stay to the upper 30s far north and to the mid 50s far south. So much cooler today, kind of damp, dreary, all of that. It's going to be more dry than actually rainy. It will be on and off. We're not looking at heavy amounts. But as we go through tonight, we are looking at a frost or a freeze for the northern half of the state. And then tomorrow night, down south, you can see those temperatures overnight as well. We've got a high pressure system building in, and it is going to give us a ton of sunshine for tomorrow. Highs will be in the 60s far west. But if you're by Lake Michigan with that lake breeze, you'll be in the 40s tomorrow. And again, like I mentioned, frost south tomorrow night, and then Sunday, a ton of sunshine, especially north. But south, this low pressure system wants to stall off to the east of us, kind of build, and then swing backwards a little bit. So no. Sunday night and into Monday morning, area south could see some scattered showers as we close out the weekend and roll into early next week. But either way, Sunday's highs far northwest, you're going to hit 70s. Far southeast, 50s. So a little backwards, but by the time we get to next week, all of us will be into those 70s and feeling fantastic.
I was going to say, we've got some sustained 70s coming up after that, I hear. So
yes.
We can definitely do that. I have to ask you a bit about apartment dwelling and what's called granny flats in just a second here, Brittany. So you and Greg, hang on. First, I want to let people know that you can sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. In today's edition, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Christina Laurie shares with us the story of a woman in the Cooley region who battled severe depression, anxiety, PTSD, thoughts of self-harm. And so to move her thoughts elsewhere, she started crocheting. She started crocheting these little hearts and then attaching little notes of encouragement and just leaving them around town. And it has become known as the Little Heart Project with other participants. At a base level, they say it's a random act of kindness. But beyond that, They're hoping to reduce the stigma around mental illness and hopefully prevent suicides one little heart at a time. So for that and more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for the newsletter there. We also have our new Sunday morning politics newsletter that you can get as well. Would appreciate that. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Up North News is owned by Courier Newsroom, and we are just pleased as punch to have these little partnerships Monday through Friday, now 6 to 9 a.m., across the Civic Media Radio Network. So, Brittany and Greg, this story that caught my eye about so-called granny flats was in the Cap Times. And it's all about whether the state should get involved with essentially telling local units of government they can't restrict these things that are also called ADUs, auxiliary dwelling units. We're basically just talking about space above your garage and putting like a little, what did you call them, Greg? A mother-in-law
mother-in-law apartment? Suite.
A mother-in-law suite above it. And I love that in the Cap Times when they said, now, if the concept isn't quite ringing with you, just think of Fonzie from Happy Days, who eventually had to live in a little place above the Cunningham's garage. Then it makes perfect sense. And for folks who want to see more affordable housing options, but not necessarily, you know, a big old apartment building with a couple of hundred units, but you scatter folks throughout where you've got the space, it might be noteworthy. And I say all this to say that right after we got married and I got this job at the radio station in Rice Lake, WAQE, and our first place was basically up above on the upper level of a house that they had added to put a little auxiliary dwelling unit in there. And I just wanted to see if either one of you, the first place that you rented or if you had any particularly useful or unique places where you've had to live for a time. Brittany, how about you?
Oh, yes. I mean, I had to rent out a basement at one point up in Duluth, Minnesota, and it was all, you know, they had the full kitchen, everything rigged to how it should be. And it was interesting. It was nice, though. And the dwellings over the garage, I've actually, I want to buy a house, live in the dwelling above a garage, and then have someone else rent it out and pay my mortgage for me for a little bit. Wouldn't that be nice?
There you go.
Very nice.
Okay. How about you, Greg?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I had a situation where it was like an interesting dwelling. I've always just lived in apartments, regular apartments, and then one day we were like, do we want to buy a house? And then we were like, yeah, we're that stupid. Let's buy a house. And so we bought a house a few years ago. But yeah, no special type places like that.
Okay. Yeah, mine have always been, you know, Four Seasons, you know, kinds of places. Yeah. Concierge service.
Okay.
Yeah, only the
mint
best,
on the
course.
Pillow, I see.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, a treehouse would be nice.
Yeah.
I'd stay in one of those.
Ooh, a treehouse. Oh, I like that. Yes.
Like a fully furnished treehouse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then there's the whole tiny house trend, which we didn't actually know about or learn about. Again, we're going back several years here, of course. But it was right after we got rid of, we had a shed. It was one of those pre-built ones. You see them in parking lots all the time. It looked like a tiny little cottage, but it was just a shed. And we used it as a storage shed for a time. And our girls occasionally used it as like a little fort. And then when the nest was empty and we built like more of a solid second garage almost as a shed, and that went away, and then came this whole tiny house trend, and I thought I would have loved to have converted that into like, you know, a little study, a little office, or a little man cave, or a little something. And I
or
keep asking about
shed.
It. How about a or she shed, or I tell Sherry, yeah, we could turn it into a little greenhouse, and she's like, no, we're fine, we're good, we don't need to take on more stuff, and she's probably right, she puts up with enough, like maybe somebody's snoring. I hold in my hand here my little kit that I got from the clinic.
I'm doing my
sleep test at home this weekend.
So what involves that? Okay, so I'm now open that thing up. What do you got?
Inside this thing? Well, it's basically, I mean, I have an Apple Watch already that already says, hey, buddy, you probably have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Why don't you do something about it? So this thing has, try not to spill it here. It's got essentially like a little Apple Watch in it, a little a big old thing actually that you put on your finger.
Yeah.
And a lead that you tape to your chest.
Interesting. Mine was just a wristband with a finger lead for the BPM. And I wore that for 3 nights in a row. And it was like, yeah, you die at night sometimes. Yeah, it was I have severe, like they were like, they weren't even, they're like, yeah, we're just gonna get you a machine. And Pat, I'm telling you, it is life changing.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that from multiple people. So I went from being completely against it to all looking forward to it. So I will take the test this weekend. I'll let you know how I score when I get the results in. Bring my number two pencil to bed. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. It's cloudy and 46 degrees. I got my car paid off yesterday.
Nice.
From one of my snowing checks that I got this winter. I celebrated with a taco pizza at Blazers in Split Rock. Way to go, Rob. Yes. He says, today a fish fry before I start my prep for my colonoscopy on Monday. Yeah. It's very important for everyone over age 45 to get a colonoscopy.
Yes.
Just think if Vince Lombardi had gotten a colonoscopy sooner, he may have lived longer. And Rob goes on to say, I've been battling depression for many years. I got into taking pictures as a way to fight my depression, and I got my mom and dad's farmhouse, and I turned one of the bedrooms into my Highway 29 room. Whoa. With all my Highway 29 scrapbooks. Is Rob becoming like the premier historian of Highway 29?
He is becoming the Renaissance man who's just like, you come to his house and it's just got all these different things, and let me take you to my Highway 29 museum.
Lair.
I wanted to say it in a way it didn't sound like, come to my lair. No.
Yeah. No, it's actually very interesting.
Yeah.
And I am, again, I've said many a time, I would be the first to chip in some money for a statue of Tommy Thompson for getting that done, for ending Bloody 29. I know a whole lot of other people were involved too, but you couldn't have done it without the governor's leadership at the time. And you know, Brittany, you take 29 all the time. What a difference it makes. And so I'm glad Rob is out there documenting the history, because it was a very real and not great history until they decided to expand it. It's been really good up here. Are you doing anything fun for the weekend? That's you, Brittany.
Oh, me? Yeah. Madison. Going to Madison for some awards. That's what I got going on this weekend.
Oh, is somebody getting awards?
We'll see.
I don't know. I think there's rumors out there that there's some civic media folks who might be getting honored by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. And that reminds me. Mm-hmm. I got to get Judy Clark on the show here, my old co-anchor from TV 13.
Oh, she's in the Hall of Fame now, isn't she?
She's being honored as a legend. Yes, to which she is. I know. How great. Amazing. That is really wonderful. Oh, I've got one on the text line here. Lori from Hayward on the Granny Flats says, we're going to need lots of Granny Flats if Trump does away with Medicaid, Medicare, and our Social Security. Yeah, my mom's made that joke a few times about coming to live like above my garage. No.
I thought Granny Flats were just comfortable shoes for the aging lady.
Yes, right. I think that would work out great. But no, so thank you for that. Final note is that the WIAA apparently has okayed NIL deals for high school athletes.
Oh, God.
Name, image, and license. Now, there are several restrictions on there, but I see an example, like, you know, here's a student athlete who is talking about financial literacy through their local credit union and is holding up the little card that you get.
What?
And, of course, you know, local sporting goods stores and things like that. Okay, I can go along with that, but I wasn't on any sports teams, so I'm looking for NIL deals for people who are on the debate team. Yeah. I mean, we've got to have something there.
Are you in your school's band?
Why not? Right? If you can get a deal, let it happen.
Exactly.
So that's the era that we live in. You know, go make the money while you can, I guess. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you a little bit later on.
Yeah.
All right. Still ahead, we're going to have our Week in Review panel talking about all kinds of headlines from the week, most notably all the different ways, shall we say, to cover Trump's first 100 days in office. Later, Kristen Lyerly and Emily Cephos. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good tomorrow morning on this fine, fine radio network, you can listen to Amicus, a law review with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Saturdays 9 to 11 on Civic Media Stations, replays on Sunday. Mark Jacob has a newsletter called Stop the Presses. You can find it at stopthepresses.news. And Jennifer Schulze has a newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, that you can find on Substack, substack.com/@newsjennifer. Good morning, y'all. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Terrific.
Nice to have y'all here. We will not lack for things to discuss. Why don't we start with things that have broken recently here? Jim, let's start with you. A Texas judge finding that Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act was unconstitutional. Wait, I thought our country was under an invasion and that we're at war. Is this namby-pamby liberal judge disagreeing with the notion that we're invaded and at war?
And apparently your words are getting into the judge's eyes. Always identify them when they do good things and bad things. Also, his name is Fernando Riguez. He's from the Southern District of Texas. And that's significant because that's, of course, where many of these deportations are happening. And to your good point, Pat, what he says is, don't be a lawyer, don't be a judge. He says, the plain, ordinary meaning of the Act's language, by this time, the Alien Enemies Act, of course, like invasion and predatory incursion, refer to an act by military forces and do not line up with the administration's claims that this particular gang coming out of Venezuela is in fact prompting a war and invasion. The law, he says, by its very language, does not apply here. And it is significant because, again, it's the first time that a federal judge has specifically articulated that. We know the Supreme Court previously has said, yes, under this law, you have to afford everybody you're deporting due process. Without really getting to the fundamental issue, he has now said clearly what we've all been thinking, that war, we're at war. Which country is that? The administration has said it's Venezuela.
It is amazing to have a moment of clarity coming from a judge, Jennifer, that we are not necessarily at war. And we certainly recognized in the Terry Moran interview in the Oval Office with President Trump, again, just a different reality that is pictured by somebody who's even not just fooled by Photoshop pictures, but almost wants to be fooled and wants you to be fooled as well.
He wants us, Trump wants us in his reality, not reality's reality. And the exchange with Terry Moran earlier this week, it was ABC News's 100 Days of Trump interview in the Oval Office. The back and forth of that, which I just reread the transcript again this morning, is just so mind-boggling, but it's so Trump. And I guess we probably have gotten way too used to it. But I wish Terry Moran had had a picture with him and to have a visual aid to say this is Photoshopped. Who knows what Trump thinks? The truth is it was Photoshopped, and the president of the United States is pretending otherwise. And frankly, I'm not sure until recently, because of that interview, that the press has really pushed hard on that story. I went back and looked from a week ago when Trump first posted that, and there weren't that many stories about it. There have been quite a bit more since that confrontational interview, though.
Yeah. Again, Mark, let's put ourselves in Terry Moran's place. Would you have done anything differently, knowing that, you know, maybe that precious interview in the Oval Office might have been cut short? But I mean, do you, like Terry essentially did, you try a couple of times and then you move on?
No, I mean, I didn't think he did enough. I mean, it was a good interview. You know, don't get me wrong, but you know, if you look at that clip where Trump is lying about the picture, Terry Moran keeps on saying, well, let's move on to Ukraine. Let's move on to Ukraine. Well, let's not move on to Ukraine. Let's stick with this until we have a clear sense of how much Trump is lying about it. That MS-13 was not on, you know, Abrego Garcia's knuckles. No, it's not. It just plain is not. And what I've always wondered is, does Trump actually believe the BS that he's spreading? I mean, does he believe it, or is everything just subject to being lied about just to help him personally? And I think as a narcissist, he just thinks that truth can just be wrapped around his own desires.
And whenever I talk about a double standard in media, I don't take any joy in it. And I don't like sounding conspiratorial, but it is just so plain as day, Jennifer, that a lot of these things, if they came out of Joe Biden's mouth, we would be talking again about his mental acuity and everything else. And I'm not sure how Donald Trump keeps getting a pass from, you know, the reporters, the hosts, everybody else, when you see something as troubling as that interview.
Well, part of the problem, though, is that most of the media in this country is right-wing media, right? So they are not interested in that story or any other negative story about Trump at all. And so when there's a negative story, like, say, the last 4 years of Joe Biden or the war on Christmas or whatever it is, right-wing media goes bananas over it. And so that is the driver behind this. You know, it seems like it's covered nonstop 24/7. And I think the reason it doesn't feel that way. Yes, I agree that I think the mainstream media, what's left of it, could always do a better job. But the balance is so skewed towards right-wing media overall, not just in national media because of Fox, but also local media because of all the stations, for example, that Sinclair owns and the News Nation company Nexstar. They own, you know, like 96 stations. All of them are not interested in sticking with a negative, factually accurate story about Trump.
It's funny that you say that about all these conservative outlets, because apparently if you say the liberal media enough, people will believe that the media
no
is
such thing.
And there's no such thing when you look at the landscape that we have here. We'll continue our conversation with Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob coming up. First, the Brewers limped home after their longest road trip of the season, losing to the lowly White Sox 8-0 and finishing 4-6 on the 10-game road trip. They take on the Cubs starting tonight. Tonight's game only is on Apple TV. You won't see it where you normally do. Apple TV for the game or on Civic Media starting at 6:35. We'll be back. Head over to the comment section of YouTube from Cassandra. I miss the days when I could wake up without checking my phone to see what other crazy stuff is going on. I think I speak for the group, Cassandra, when I say same girl, same. Welcome back. It is 7:35 on this Friday morning, May 2nd. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is here, journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. And, oh, you knew where I was going to start this segment. And, Mark, you could all just want to run and do this one first, but I'll go ahead and pick Mark. The New York Times headline, Trump's first 100 days, a style blitz. In this administration, it's clear that looking the part is crucial to playing the part. This is one of those times, Mark, I'm usually really good about my language on the radio. If I weren't, this would be one of those moments where I wasn't good with my language. What is this?
And, you know, yeah, it's an essay about, you know, Trump's pugnacious mugshot, as they put it, and in various other ways that they dress and look. And this would be like an okay article in a normal time, I think. You know, you kind of thing you could do about any, well, here, what do they say and by how they look and all that. But it comes across as so unserious, you know, so trivial in this time when people are, when masked men are grabbing people off the street and throwing them in prison. I mean, come, you know, it just wake up, New York Times. They just drive me crazy. They are so much not doing their duty as journalists. And Pat, I want to mention one other thing about the New York Times. They had an editorial about how to confront Trump, you know, and this is their big bold move. And they say that, I'll read one sentence. The building of this coalition should start with an acknowledgement that Mr. Trump is the legitimate president and many of his actions are legal. So that's the high praise. Many of his actions are legal. Somebody on social media said that's like saying Dahmer also ate vegetables. You know, I mean, come on. Oh. I mean, it's just insane that they would lower the bar so low that if he did one thing that was legal, that's what we need to make sure and point that out.
Jennifer, you saw the headline for the first time and thought what?
Well, I felt like, and I don't mean this as a diss on Vogue magazine, because I think it's actually a really good publication. But it felt like it, like Mark said, it wasn't serious and it didn't belong. Like, read the room. Read the freaking room. And also, if you're going to talk that way or write about that, write about it more critically. It is a fashion review that kind of hints around the edges about how weird some of this stuff is. But it just was, the tone was off for me.
Yeah. And meanwhile, poor Jim over here, a former U.S. attorney, and you brought up in the break something about last Friday's arrest of Judge Hannah Dugan in Milwaukee, and wondering if there was any coverage of a particular part of that arrest. And you got blank stares from the three journalists here because we did not see coverage of, tell the folks what caught your eye.
Right. The outrage, of course, and it should be there. The general outrage is about the arrest and the charging of Hannah Dugan, but not the sub story. It goes to issues that are material and not about what the ties look like and what the Blazers look like. It goes to whether or not the Attorney General and the Director of the FBI has actually violated internal Department of Justice policy that has been there for decades, that basically says that when you charge someone, again, putting that to one side, the merits of that, you talk about nothing other than what's in the charging document. Every so often you can talk about the circumstances perhaps that prompted the indictment, that sort of thing. But U.S. attorneys and others have gotten into big trouble with the Department of Justice in the past when they have said things beyond the four corners of the indictment and the charging document. Here, what you have is a photograph, which you look at that and you ask, what is the legitimate law enforcement purpose for doing that? And how does it advance the interests of the rule of law? The answer is none. It is only attempted to intimidate. It is an attempt, obviously, to embarrass and to say to the world, we can do this to you too. An illegitimate law enforcement purpose. I'm wondering again where the outrage is about that, along with all these comments from the Attorney General about
by photo,
what's going on here.
By photo, you mean the of her in handcuffs being walked to a car?
Absolutely. I'll tell you that if I used to do this routinely when I'm announcing the white collar violent crime indictment, the answer would be that we do not only mugshots, we do not parlay about pictures of people or the subjects of those indictments. It is incendiary, and you can get into a lot of trouble, again, in a prior administration. Not this one. Apparently, it's regarded as just Tuesday or Wednesday, and it should be an outrage.
Well, when you have Mark, an attorney general, who, again, most of her time is an audition for her next gig at Fox News, I was going to ask you, could there ever be a time where she sticks to the four corners of the charging documents? And then the answer is obvious, of course, is if some Republican official ever got arrested for something blatantly obvious, we'd hear crickets.
Right, because, right. No, the thing about it is that, I mean, during the last administration, did you see Merrick Garland going on TV all the time?
I didn't see Merrick Garland at all. I mean,
and denouncing this or that and making all these political statements. I mean, the scary thing is that one of the scary things is that Trump has picked a cabinet based on their telegenic nature, you know, and their ability to go on TV. I mean, why is Pete Hegseth there other than the fact that he has been on TV? Because he certainly doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But and Bondi is really, her job is to go on TV. I mean, I don't see her mm-hmm. doing a lot of, you know, the kind of work that an attorney general should be doing. I think her job is to go on TV.
Yes, and a lot of that, Jennifer, is it's performative. I would focus, if I had to do some kind of a sidebar story, it'd be less about the style 100 days into the Trump administration as it is the ongoing performances. Everything is a performance. And by the way, and the reverse is also true. If you don't want attention on something, don't perform. And I'm referring to Pete Hegseth. And eventually the story goes away unless, you know, enough journalists say, we're going to keep at this until we get some answers.
I think something that started to be said in the first Trump administration still holds true now, probably more than ever. And that is, don't pay attention to what they say, pay attention to what they do. Because like Mark said, they've all been hired to be on TV. Trump is president in large part because he's good on TV. And for, you know, even in this term more than ever, what they say is that gets the headlines. But then you have to dig down into, well, what did they actually do? And you find, oh, something else. And America is definitely being sold a bill of goods on a lot of these issues.
Well, but it doesn't help, Mark, when the Times, you already talked about the way they kind of weasel worded something. They have fallen in love with another way of doing this, the word maximalist. And again, the maximalist assertion of power. I mean, if that doesn't hit to the weasel words that we talked about last week, I don't know what does.
Yeah, they love that word. I mean, I've been tracking it, and they use it all the time. And they use it because the real word they'd want to use is dictatorial, authoritarian, fascist, lawless. Those are the words that people actually understand what they mean, that they could use instead. But those are kind of scary words, and they'd make, you know, the Trump administration mad at them, and some of their subscribers might think that they were being unfair by telling the truth. And so they'd say, so the great out is maximalist, because it's, you know, a vague term that most people don't understand what it means. And they love that. I mean, when you think about how bad that is, that they are using, you know, they're running it. I like to say that they like to run their stories through their euphemism desk. And in my mind, I think that there's actually somebody sitting there, mm-hmm. who gets the stories and says, no, we can't call that fascist or authoritarian. Call it maximalist, you know. That's why you get like someone having a penchant for avoiding the truth and stuff like that. You get these weaselly phrases that they have, and this is a time for courage. This is not a time for that. And if you're going to use, you know, cowardly language at a time of great national crisis, then you're really failing. You are just failing.
While we pick on media a lot, it is also a time for judges to rise to the occasion, Jim. And to that extent, we have talked about the Texas judge finding that Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act unconstitutional because there is no war, there is no invasion. But there have also recently been cases about a Columbia student ordered released from ICE detention, also another setback in court for Trump on funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So whatever the news is doing, you know, good or bad, we still need attorneys and judges to continue to do their job and not be intimidated even after last week's arrest.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. And if there is a guardrail right now, if there's a bastion pushing back on this, it's federal district court judges. They're the ones who are looking at these things and they're saying, no way this can't possibly happen. This judge you're talking about, again, we'll name him, Judge Jeffrey Crawford. He's in Vermont. He says, with respect to Madawi, who is, again, an organizer of pro-Palestinian movements at Columbia a long time ago, releases him. Why? He says there's no indication whatsoever. He's a threat of violence, that he's a risk of flight, and goes on to say, this is not the first time the nation has seen chilling action by the government intended to shut down debate. That's the language. That's the language that every media outlet should be shouting out loud. You do have judges, again, not shouting, but they're writing these things with great breakneck speed. The issue of the latest attack upon the public broadcasting units, that too. The analysis when that comes forward into a court is going to be the same. Violation of the First Amendment. This is not what we're about. And in some ways, the interesting thing as we're talking about language is these judges who are responding, can they find enough language of outrage in the opposite direction? Let's go to the thesaurus and say, how wild is this? And mm-hmm. that's where we are with respect to them. Thank goodness they are out there right now, still mm-hmm. preserving what we have left of our rights here.
It reminds me that we did get an announcement from the nonpartisan group Keep Our Republic, which, as you know, is Democrats and Republicans coming together to defend democracy. Well, now they've started a whole new project for Keep Our Republic, the Article 3 Coalition. And it starts with what they call an unprecedented group of 20 former federal judges, all committed to defending the independence and integrity of the judiciary. And Jennifer, I think that if there's one thing that might be tough, maybe for newer, younger reporters, it's this notion of an independent judiciary. When we talk about the attorney general is not supposed to be the president's personal attorney, and Trump is like, oh, of course it is. That's what it's supposed to be. I think, Jennifer, I don't think that's an either or. I think maybe media could do a better job of explaining why you need an independent judiciary.
Well, I think we might all agree media could do a better job of explaining pretty much everything about the government.
I've only got a minute left, Jennifer. I got to start somewhere.
So, yes, I totally. But I do think people are starting to learn things about their government that they should have known before, but now they do. And reporters, absolutely, you know, get up to speed on and how this government is supposed to work. Okay. That would be a great starting point.
Any kind of a civics basis would be a great franchise for reporters. Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, as always, appreciate it so much. Have a good weekend. Thank you for being here today.
Always a delight.
All right. Take care. Coming up in our next hour, Kristen Lierley and Emily Cephos. And on Monday, congressional candidate Laura Benjamin and Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Follow what we do over at UpNorthNewsWI.com and mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
So we've got this new production library of music. So in place of our usual Grateful Dead, Greg read my mind and went to go find something off of there that is very dead-ish, shall we say. So I'm going to put it to you this way. Either one of you, Dan Schumacher, Greg Bach, can jump in. This is a production library song. Is it reminiscent of any particular Grateful Dead song?
Oh, God.
Probably no, no, the answer is all of them. Yes, the answer is all of them, said the non-fan. Yeah. Dan Schumacher is with us to talk a little sports heading into the weekend here, especially since his Cubs are playing the Brewers starting tonight. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations. And if you're looking for it on TV, do not look for it on the FanDuel Sports Network or whatever it's called now. This is, as far as we know so far, the one game this season where the Brewers will be on Apple TV. So if it's anything like last year, I will be at a bar that does not have Apple TV. I will be sitting at the bar and everybody will be gathered behind me and we're all going to be watching my phone. That's how it's going to roll for some folks tonight. So,
well, the Brewers are three games back of the Cubs and then the Reds are two games back.
No, we're in third place.
Yep. So we got to, I said, you were telling me we can't catch up with the Cubs till we catch up with the Reds.
Yep.
And we got some work to do after going 4-6 on that road trip and losing 8-0 yesterday afternoon to the lowly White Sox, who now, that was their eighth win of the season for the Southsiders.
To lose to the Sox. I mean, there was nobody at that game. I was watching that game and there was just nobody there. And wow, it's just Jerry Reinsdorf needs to sell the Sox.
Oh my gosh, does he ever? You know, because they need to recapture, you know, whatever glory they haven't had for a number of years here. I'm looking at the NBA playoff bracket here. I'm not seeing the Bulls listed anywhere in here, and so the Cubs being in first place, that's about what you got right now.
That's all we got. Yep. You know. So
okay. Well,
I'm still living off the draft.
And what did you think of the draft?
I thought the Bears did pretty well. I thought Green Bay did really well with that wide receiver. He's pretty scary how fast he was. He was the fastest guy at the combine for the Packers.
Uh-huh.
Vikings, I didn't really see who they took. I didn't pay attention much, or Detroit, but
it was nothing that really stood out.
This whole Sanders thing just keeps dragging on and on.
You
scroll on social media. Every other sports post is about a rumor of what they heard at some interview he did with the Giants or whatever.
You know what? I mean, it's just time for him to put it on the field. Prove your critics wrong.
Mm. The story I think is interesting is that the other boy, Shiloh, fired his dad, or his own dad, Dion, who was acting as his agent.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. You know what? That doesn't surprise me that Deion Sanders thinks he could be his agent. Absolutely. That makes
sense. He's the other kid, the top pick kid. He's still his agent. So I think because he's involved, the hovering of that and Deion's presence, I think those teams just shied away from the baggage that they bring.
And let's keep in mind, there is ample room for confidence in any situation, any job interview situation. There's confidence. There's also skill, but there's also humility. You're applying for a job. You're going to someplace new. And if any one of us were to go into a new job, you know, with not a chip on our shoulder, but, you know, really thinking that we're all that, you're going to get humbled really quickly.
Oh, sure.
And in this case, Shador didn't even happen in the locker room and training camp. It happened from the GMs who said, I've got other people that I can hire instead. So that's why I say, well, let's advance the story and say, all right, now it's time to see what that skill will get you at Cleveland. Yeah. In Cleveland. Oh, well, anyway.
You know, I hate harboring on this subject, but I heard an interesting theory. I think I just shared with you last night, Pat. I mean, they've drafted two quarterbacks with a crowded quarterback room already.
Yeah.
So is the idea that somehow Deion brokered that and then knowing that they will cut him and allow him to become an instant free agent and then he could sign with any team that he wants? I don't know. I mean, it was just a theory I heard. I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes a little bit of sense. But I didn't think Deion has that kind of control.
Well,
I think Deion might think Deion has that kind of control.
Yeah.
Here's the rumor, the theory about the Cleveland Browns that I heard. And once I tell it to you, you can't unsee it. The Cleveland Browns helmet logo, if you look closely, looks like a rabbit pushing a shopping cart. I know.
I thought their logo was nothing. It was brown.
It is nothing. It's a brown helmet. It's basically, we're talking about the face mask, the face guard.
Oh.
And from a profile, it's a rabbit pushing. See, we got to lighten it up a little bit here.
I
watched the Minnesota Wild get eliminated in the hockey playoffs last night by the Vegas Golden Knights. So they advance. It looks like six of the final eight teams have been determined in the NHL playoffs. Meanwhile, over in the NBA, there's still two series. Oh, Greg saw it. You saw it, didn't you?
Yeah.
The rabbit?
Totally.
Yep. See?
Matt, what about last night? I was telling you, what do you think about, I mean, this is a bigger epidemic, happens at youth sports, but how about the father of one of the players in the NBA went up and confronted Giannis?
Again, there's room for confidence in sports. There's also room for humility and manners. It's same situation here, kids. Trash talking is fine. As a parent, I don't care if your parent's in Little League or in the NBA. You know, we can expect better. Let's just put it that way.
We got to get better. Yep. I mean, your youth sports, you've got fights and you've got moms yelling, and I mean, you see so many videos of how poorly the adults are acting at these sporting events, and especially at youth events. And it just brings all that subject matter up when we just need to behave. And like you said, the humility that parents need to have and let their kids just play.
You know who's got humility right now? The Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes, they do.
Getting eliminated by the Timberwolves. Dan Schumacher, thank you so much. I'll see you at the Mallard later.
Yeah, you bet. Opening day. I got my Lake with Soda hat on today.
Here we go. It's opening for the Mallard. Greg Bach is back in 1 hour for Matt and Air on Air. Sam will be on the board. We'll be joined by Kristen Lyerly and Emily Cephos coming up here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.